Welcome to Futures Radio Show, sponsored by CME Group and Trading Technologies. For more information on the show, visit us online at futuresradioshow.com. Now, here's your host, Anthony Crudelli.
Hello, everyone. Anthony Crudelli here, and welcome to Futures Radio Show. We have another great interview today as we are going to hear from investor and forecaster at PageTrader, David Williams. David is a fantastic guy with a surprising backstory that I know all of you will enjoy. Today, David tells us why he believes that markets are much more predictable than commonly believed. David dives into the psychological nature of trading and why he believes that the goal in trading is not to satisfy our human nature, but to understand and be in concert with the nature of the markets. He gives us a unique philosophical perspective about trading and explains that bad life habits can and will affect your trading habits. He emphasizes the importance of cleaning up your life in order to get more success out of trading. Now, my conversation with David had many takeaways, but one part that stuck out to me was David's comparison of managing the risk of driving a car to managing the risk of trading. I thought it was brilliant. And with that being said, I hope you enjoy this interview. David, how are you, my friend? Thank you for coming on the show.
Good morning, Anthony, and thank you for having me on. It's a real pleasure to be here with you today.
David, you're a first-time guest, and as I do with all of our first-time guests, I ask them to give us a little backstory on themselves. Tell us how you got started in the industry and how you got to where you are today with PageTrader.
Well, thank you, Anthony. My story is somewhat circuitous. I didn't get here by being a numbers guy, and I didn't get here by being interested in the markets. I had run some businesses in my earlier life in the 80s. I'm now 59 years old. But back in the 1980s, I had a number of businesses. I actually had three different businesses that I had some real success with. I was surprised, to be honest with you, that I had that success. And after a long number of years, about 10 years of running those businesses, I took a break and for about a year, and I was looking for something to attract my attention, something that I could do with some capital. And by the time a year had gone by, you know how in boxing they have something called ring rust, where you get back into the ring and you really, you know, you're not quite ready for a fight and so on. I really wasn't ready to spin up, if you will, to getting back into business, get all the plates spinning. I was looking for something to do with capital. And I thought, is there something I can do with money that I've earned that might help, you know, me get started in a new direction for my life? Because I had spent, a good number of years, 10 or 12 years working with these three companies. And I went to a brokerage back then. It was Shearson Lehman. They're no longer around. And I met a very charismatic broker, a guy by the name of Donovan. And Donovan introduced me. He was the first man that introduced me to markets and said, I didn't even know what markets were. He said, this is the Dow. This is gold. This is silver. And you can buy and sell these things. And if you get it right, you can make money. But you could also lose money. And so he sort of got my interest up in markets. And of course, like anyone else, Anthony, I went and began reading books. I had the time. I didn't have to work at the time. I had time and I was able to read books from various authors and get interested in the markets and start to study them more. And I think from that point forward, I followed a very typical path that most of us follow, which is a great deal of interest, almost a frothy kind of interest in, like, what is all this? What can be done with this? A suspicion that this is something that I could perhaps do very well at and I've been missing out, that kind of feeling. And I went on and on reading and learning. And upon retrospect, looking back from now, I realized that very early on I had made some I don't want to sound bragging or anything. I don't want it to come across that way. But I had made some what I felt to be astute observations, looking back from now, early on, about, if you will, the nature of markets. And those observations helped me to begin developing ideas about how markets might work. So I didn't go in the direction, of course, I wanted to make $1 million in the market, but I didn't go immediately in the direction of making $1 million. I went in the direction of trying to understand the market to try to realize what it was really all about. Was it just a completely random, unholy free-for-all where people are screaming and yelling and it just does whatever it wants to do willy-nilly? Or was there something there that could be put to work? And so over many, many years and many, many losses, I might say, I had tremendous losing periods in the market. And I think many people do. And unfortunately, it's true that the more money you have when you get into the markets, you typically the more money you lose. There are very few people who get into the markets and have that priestly restraint, if you will, to be careful with their funds and to really not try to go for the big gains and so on. And I was not one of those people. And so I had to live through the combination, like many of us do, the deep fascination for the markets, along with the deep pain of losing money. And as I came up with a phrase, I used to tell people, the markets are one of the most interesting ways I know to lose a lot of money. That's a good way of putting it. It's a fascinating way to lose a lot of money. But my interest stayed with me in spite of those losses. And it was probably in my fourth or fifth year that I began to put together what now is a large part of what I do in the markets. So that's how I got to them. And I ended up then in the year 2000, I started paging. I was so confident. I actually grew in confidence to the degree that I was sending friends of mine pages. Remember when people used to wear pagers?
Oh, yeah.
And I would page my trade to them. I would say, hey, you know, you're at work, but call your broker and do this. You know, because I was so enthusiastic, I had the puppy dog enthusiasm. And I was paging people, and I started a company called Page Trader. The name has no meaning now because there's no paging anymore. But that's what I was doing. I was paging friends of mine. And over time, that company, which is now 16 years old, you know, evolved quite dramatically, along with my understanding of markets. So that, well, I hope, is a good recap of it.
Yeah, like, great stuff, David. I appreciate you sharing that backstory with us. Now, I've been following you for some years now, and your technical analysis, I have to say, is very, very good. And you, like myself, we're market junkies, you and I. You know, we spend countless hours watching and studying markets, and you call yourself a forecaster. I want you to start off by explaining to our listeners what you mean by a forecaster.
A forecaster is somebody who looks at anything and, for preparation purposes, wants to know what the likely outcome of the future of that thing would be. People do it with weather, of course. People do it with sales of their company. They want to know what the trend is. And in the markets, forecasting has been around since the first day of markets, of course. You know, what's the market going to do? Where's the market going to go today? Is it going to go up or is it going to go down? If it goes up, how far is it going to go up? If it goes down, how far is it going to go down? So these questions have been around for forever. And forecasting is built into the whole system, if you will. You know, man was put here and given the ability to forecast tremendous things. We have the cycles of the planets. We have the cycles of weather. We have everything has been laid out so that it can be forecast to one degree or another. When it comes to markets, though, there's a kind of almost a mysticism about forecasting markets, which has persisted throughout the entire time. Many, many people have written books, Random Walk Down Wall Street and so on, that make very good cases, apparently good cases, for the fact that the market is completely and utterly random. But the unfortunate part of that argument is that it doesn't take into account the fact that everything has a nature. You know, can you bring me something that doesn't have a nature? Can you find me something that doesn't have a nature? Everything has a nature. A penny, metal, coins, the stars, anything you look at actually has a nature. The desk you're sitting at has a nature. It has atoms spinning at a very specific rate of speed and so on. And that desk has a nature. If you changed anything about that atom, you would change the nature of the whole desk. So the markets are a subsequent product of nature. So everything that man does, even though man is doing it, it's a subsequent product of man's nature, so to speak. Man is you know, man is a part of the whole process. We're not independent of nature. Man has a nature, and everything he does ends up having a nature. So the markets indeed have a nature. There's no question in my mind that the markets absolutely have a nature. And because of that, if we can understand a portion, even a small part, of the market's nature, we can do some pretty amazing things when it comes to investing in markets. And I've said this before, Anthony, and I've said it to you and others, the markets are not going to change their behavior merely because you understand their nature. They're going to fulfill their nature. And conversely, they're going to fulfill their nature even if you don't understand them. So it would be wise to think of the markets in terms of them having a nature and study it from that perspective. And that's how I approach the markets. I start with, if you will, the faith in the idea that the markets indeed have a nature. And all of our work at PageTrader is based upon the premise that all markets have a nature, and that in understanding that nature, some pretty amazing things can be done with regard to forecasting. So I hope that answers some of the question about the nature of forecasting as well, because everything that man does has that quality in it, where they want to know some portion of the future as much as they can.
No, I like that a lot. I like that a lot. So you also say you believe that markets are much more predictable than commonly believed. And you say that it's harder to make less money and easier to make more money. And you say that your method focuses on somewhat larger market moves. Now, can you please dive in and explain to us why you believe in what I just spoke about?
Sure. First of all, I want to make it clear, I don't really like, for me, talking about money per se, because many people, when they approach the market, their first thought is about money, what they want from the market. I'd like to make $100 today, or I'd like to make $300 today, or whatever the number is. They're coming to the market with a desire that they're going to impose on the market. I don't like that. I much prefer understanding the nature of the market and being in concert with its nature. And then the happy result of that is that we will probably make some money. But the money is always a secondary result of having studied and understand the nature of the market. I never like to put money first because it's not the right order. The right order is to understand the nature of the thing, in this case, the market. And the secondary effect is that you make money. If you reverse that order, you end up putting money first, and you might not even think secondarily about the nature. You just want to make your $100. So I never wake up in the morning, I just want to make this comment, thinking to myself, you know, I want to make $1,000 today or whatever the number is. I wake up with the idea of understanding that market, that day, the nature of it, and being able to discover what the most probable thing the market is going to do that day, but with very high specificity. So that's one of the things about our forecasts, is that we don't forecast just up or down. We forecast, let me give you an example of a forecast. We would say something like, if the S&P touches 1985 and, you know, firms up on that number, then in today's sixth hour, the S&P will be trading at 2012. A whole bunch higher. And so that's a highly specific forecast about what the market needs to do in order to do this next thing. And if we do our work correctly, we can actually invest in that idea, you know, trade that idea, and then end up with a substantial gain. Now, when we talk about gains, your question was, why is it easier to have better gains? I don't even want to use the word money because I want to leave that off the table here. Why is it better? You know, why is it easier to make more and harder to make less? And the answer to that is that many systems treat the market as if they put a great limitation on what the market is going to do. They recognize that they may not know what the market is going to do, and so they limit themselves to a very small gain. So a person who is looking for $100 out of the market to move, he may have to trade 10 times in order to be able to achieve what one trade for 10 points would do for him. Well, trading in the market 10 times, Anthony, as we all know, requires you and I to get ready for the trade, to recognize the trade, to place our buy order or sell order for the trade, to place our stop, to get out when we need to get out. All these things have to happen, and you'd have to do that 10 times and be right 10 times to get what you could get in a single trade of simply 10 points. And so that's, to me, why it is more difficult to make less money, and it's easier to make more money. And I would want people to check out, if they would, our work, and see how consistently you can be in the market for larger gains, if you will, without having to really limit yourself out of whatever reason to such tiny gains. We also trade throughout the day. We don't just get in and get out and take our points for the day. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we're here from the market open to the market close because if the probabilities are in our favor, we want to take advantage of every opportunity, not just one a day or something like that. So I hope that answers the question correctly. If I didn't, you let me know.
No, it does. And I want to move on and talk about this discussion that you and I had before the show. And you said some really great things, and I typed some of them up, and then I was like, you know what, these are good topics to just fire off and have you comment on some of those things you had said. Well, one of the things you had mentioned was, although methodology is very important, most of the really important trading skills are psychological in nature.
Yes. I have learned through painful experience that it's quite possible for you to know very well a very specific thing is going to happen in the market, like I laid out earlier, and still be unable, because of psychological conditions that exist in you, the trader, to be able to fulfill what your methodology has said was going to happen. And the frustration from having seen the market complete these distant price targets and so on without your being in it brings up further issues that the trader has to be able to deal with and overcome. So what happens is that there really is a skill set of psychology, and I can pretty much clarify what that would mean. It means, number one, that if you are utilizing bad habits in other areas of your life, they tend to spill over into your trading. There are very few people who can have really poor habits in their financial, other responsibilities, and then go to trading and do a really great job of trading. And the reason is because those same impulses that give them those poor habits are a result of poor impulse. And if those poor impulses are with you, they tend to show up in your trading as well. So one of the things that it's very broad sounding, but clean up your life and your trading will tend to get better as well. Take care of the responsibilities that you have, clean those up, pick up the socks off the floor, and you'll be surprised at how much more organized and effective you may end up being in actually trading in the market. It sounds almost too simple to be true, but I think most of us, the positive way of saying this is that most of us drive cars, and most of us take on risk every day by getting in our car, 4,000-pound object, and driving to work, and we manage all of these situations that come up. A car gets in front of you, somebody cuts you off, you have to change lanes yourself without using your blinker. All of this stuff comes up, but you manage to deal with that stuff in real time, and look how beautifully you do. Look how well you manage that risk every day, driving that car to work with unknowns in front of you, and yet you get to work 99% of the time without an accident, hopefully. Well, the positive side of what I said earlier was that we can take also the things that we're already doing in other areas of our life successfully and connect the dots with our trading. So my thing is look how good you do other things in life, and remember that trading is not so different that you can't apply that good that you've done in other areas of your life to your trading. Bring that same smooth way of handling the unknowns in your car over to trading, and not make trading such a, you know, outlier for you, something that's way outside your normal life. Make trading part of your normal life. Let it be normal for you, because you're handling normal things, most of us, very well. But we put trading on a pedestal in a psychological way, and it makes it actually, we're making it harder to reach. We actually put it up on the pedestal and then start trying to climb that pedestal to try to get up there. The truth of the matter is that most of us are handling risk and doing many of the things and functions you would do in the market in other areas of our life, and we're doing it well. So I would want people to look at other areas of their life where they manage unknowns and say, hey, I can just bring that skill over here rather than make this some big thing on a pedestal that I have to climb up and reach some godly heights for. And so there is a lot of psychology in the sense that I don't want you to put the markets on a big pedestal. I want you to recognize that you have many of the skills necessary, and you're proving that every day in your daily life. You just haven't connected the dots, that those things and trading are really can be looked at in the same view.
I love it. Okay. Now let's move on to something else you had said. You said the market doesn't change its behavior because you understand it. It also doesn't change its behavior because you misunderstand it.
That is correct. Many traders, but this is part of the psychology, and Anthony, we've all been through this. You know, something happens in the market, it flushes you out of a position perhaps, and then you say, well, I'm not going to get back in, they're just going to hurt me again. Because you feel that the market knows that you are participating in it. How many of us have been sure, if you're really honest, that there's a group of them, they, that are just out to get you every time you put your position on? And if I may say so without being blunt, that is the final stage of market superstition at work, where you finally have given up on all ideas that the market has a nature, and you actually believe that there's a group of people operating to hurt you and your position, and that there's no way for you to get ahead because those people are strangely knowledgeable enough to know everything you're doing or going to do, and they set it up for you to lose every time. That's the final mental illness of traders right there, where all sense of objectivity and understanding have been thrown out, and psychology has taken over, bad psychology, which makes you believe that they're out to get you. And I can tell you from my own personal experience, and I would encourage people to come and watch some of what we do so you can see that I'm speaking from experience. I can assure you that that's a form of, it should be listed as a mental illness. By the time you're at the point where you believe other groups or other people are messing with you in the market, you have fallen for that. The markets are going to do and satisfy their own nature. And if you understand that nature and are in line with it, they're going to satisfy that nature, and you will be in line for gains from that act of it satisfying its nature. If you don't understand what the market's going to do, it's more like gambling, and you're going to end up with gambling-like results, and in many cases, even worse than gambling results. The strange thing is that when people fall into these traps, they actually do worse than gamblers in Las Vegas do with the market. So it's no doubt that this has to be seen through. And what I like to show people at PageTrader when they come is how predictable and how forecastable individual stocks, individual commodities are repeatedly over and over again, so that they can begin to move away from a kind of a form of deep superstition about the market and its nature, what they think is happening, and move into utilizing our forecasts and these repeatable, predictable, sizable price moves that are going to occur. And I'll tell you something. It's one thing, Anthony, and I know you know this, to watch someone else do something with great skill. And you say, man, that's amazing. But there's nothing as life-changing as watching yourself do something. So, in other words, if someone were to come and take a trial as an example, and I'm sorry, I don't want to be gratuitous with this, but if they were to watch what we're doing and actually trade with us on some of these moves where we're forecasting an 18-point move in the S&P in the next 3 hours and so on, and if they could even live with half of that, you know, before they get out, before they're tortured so much they have to get out, they would be, it's life-changing. It's not life-changing to see someone else do it. It's life-changing to see yourself actually do it. And if you go to our testimonials page and so on, you'll see there's many, many people who have seen that for themselves, and they're moving away from the super suspicion that someone's out to get them. And that's why I say that the markets essentially are going to do everything according to its own nature. And if you understand a portion of that, then you can participate in that and gain from that. But if you really don't understand its nature, you're going to walk away with all kinds of superstitions about what the market's doing to you. And it's not doing it to you. It's just doing its nature, just like everything else does its nature, the markets do as well.
All right, great, David. Thank you. Now it's time for our rapid fire segment. I'm going to ask you five quick questions to get to know you a little bit better. You know, we get questions every week here on the, for the Futures Radio Show, and these are just some of the questions that we are consistently getting. So we decided to put them out there for this rapid fire segment. Now, first question is Bloomberg, CNBC, or Fox Business?
Well, I don't watch much TV while I'm trading, but I do watch Fox News when I'm looking at news. I do try, I tend to stay away. I don't want a lot of other things thrown at me while I'm trading. I know what I'm looking for, and I don't want to hear others' opinions about what they think is going to happen. It's only a distraction, and on a weekday, it could actually throw me off.
Okay. What's your favorite book about trading or the markets?
You know, I'm not sure, but I know I spent an awful lot of time reading with affection, if you will, the Market Wizards books. I really enjoyed listening to somebody ask questions of traders and listen to their answers, where they're coming from, because people really do view things very differently. You know, a marriage is two people who view things the same way, and then maybe they change their beliefs over time, and they just viewing something differently changes everything, doesn't it? So it was very interesting for me, and I gained a lot of, I guess affection is a good word, for the human side of trading by reading that book, that these are people, just like you and I, that have lives outside of trading and so on, and they're bringing their best work to the markets. To hear them talk about that and hear them speak about both sides of the markets and how they've grown through it and what how their trading has improved and so on was really, that was powerful for me. So I'd have to say, without even consciously thinking of it as my favorite book, I would think that probably would be my best answer.
What's your favorite movie or TV show about trading?
Many, many years ago, many of your listeners might be too young for this, but there was an Outer Limits back in the 60s, a show called The Outer Limits. And one of the things that really impressed me when I saw this one show, aliens had come to Earth, but they looked like human beings, and they needed money, but it looked like they were going to do something bad with the money, but they really wanted to do something tremendously good. Everyone thought they were here to do bad. The way they made their money is they walked into a brokerage office, and one of the guys sat down and he says, I want to buy so many barrels or whatever bushels of wheat. I want to buy so much of soybeans. And the broker said, well, you know, hey, now you better be careful. These things can move really fast. But these aliens had higher knowledge, and they, in like 2 weeks, they pulled out a check for some ungodly sum of money from which they were going to go do good things with. And I was really, really, I guess, touched by that, because it was to me a kind of a it was a story that I hoped was true. That's maybe the best way I said. I hope it was true that a person could have so much knowledge that he could actually go do something like that and go to a broker and actually have that kind of knowledge and put that to work. That, I think, was one of the strongest impressions that I've gotten from a TV program. This was many, many years ago now. This was back in the early, early 90s. But that's where I started. I started in May of 1990. And that show, The Outer Limits, was one of the emotional things that helped me really believe, and I have since the beginning. I went into the markets believing that there's something here. These markets are not just moving randomly. They're satisfying. They're completing something. They're satisfying something. It's not just random. I went in thinking that, and this show really helped push that along.
What's the best piece of advice you have received about trading?
That I've received about trading? Probably to not do it. Was a really good piece of advice until you understand what you're doing. I don't believe in simulator trading, so I do believe that people have to go in and learn to actually be in the markets and so on. But I think if you're new, I would say a few things about being in the markets. Number one, if you've been successful in other areas, don't fall for the story that you're the golden boy and wherever you turn your attention, everything goes your way, because the markets have a very non-intuitive way of moving. And until you understand and get in contact with that, real deeper contact with that, the chances are that if you have a lot of money, you're going to lose a lot. So if you've been successful in other areas, start with a very small trading account and practice and try to be in contact with people like Anthony and others, perhaps myself, who could be of help to you, who authentically don't want you to lose money unnecessarily. That would be my advice.
Well, that's my final question, is if you can give a piece of advice to the young people interested in the industry, what would it be?
Well, there's many facets to this industry. Trading itself is just one of many, many levels in this industry. You don't have to be a trader to be in the financial industry. Obviously, there's many other ways, things that you can do. But and many people think that trading is free money. They view it, especially in the early stages, like, oh, well, this is just free money. I just do this and I don't have to work. And their dreams of glory are what is driving all that. But that isn't the case. If you will treat the investment, I don't even like the word trading, honestly. I like the word investing, and I do short-term investing. I don't really particularly like the word trading, because to me, words matter, and I don't like that word. I like the word investing. So I do short-term investing in the market, and I would tell people that if they're going to choose trading, to think of it as seriously as they do investing, and to think of it as seriously as a real job, and don't get caught up in the desire and, you know, to have untold wealth at a snap of your fingers. It takes work. There's nothing free. It all requires time, energy, money, and even love to get it down. Trading is probably one of the more difficult things to learn to do properly, but it has tremendous opportunities for people who just are naturally attracted to it. I would never tell somebody, Anthony, to get involved in trading unless they have an interest, a strong interest in it already. So, you know, it's there, it's available to people, and many of us just love it. We just love the markets, and that's the person that tends to do better, because the love of the markets isn't the love of money. It's the love of principles. It's the love that this thing is moving all the time, and that you can find particularly high percentage opportunities that you can take advantage of. A person who says, I need a way to pay my mortgage, you know, at the end of the month, that's not something, a person that needs to be involved in trading. So I'm not maybe verbalizing it as best as I can, but it's a serious business, and it has to be taken seriously. And instead of dreaming of glory in trading, practice, practice, practice. Many, many years ago, if I can just throw this in, I went to there was a Mexican restaurant here in Las Vegas that I went to for a year or more, and it was the absolutely best Mexican food I'd ever had. And finally, I was at the counter one day, and a Chinese woman was helping me, and we started talking, and it turned out that she was the owner. So here's a Chinese woman making the very best Mexican food I've ever had, and I said, that strikes me as very interesting. How did you accomplish that? And she said, practice, practice, practice. So from that day forward, I've always thought, well, if a Chinese woman can make the best Mexican food I've ever tasted, then anything is possible, including learning to trade in the markets. And I hope that will be true for everyone that has an interest in it.
Well, thank you for coming on the show, David. I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to do Futures Radio.
Oh, no
problem. I look forward to having you on the show again in the future.
Thank you. My pleasure, Anthony.
All right, everyone, I hope you enjoyed that interview. To hear past episodes and to get on our email list, please go to futuresradioshow.com. Subscribers will know when the shows are posted, who the upcoming guests are, and what topics we will be covering. Also, by getting on our email list, you will be able to ask me and my guests questions about the shows. I remind you every episode that this show is for you, the trader. We want this show to be part of your routine. That's why we ask you to participate. You can do so by posting comments on our Facebook page, Lodestar Trading Community, or by following me on Twitter, at Anthony Cardelli, and using the hashtag Futures Radio. Before I let you go, remember the three words that I think about every day before I begin to trade on my machine: preparation, anticipation, execution. Don't forget to check out the podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud. Take care, everyone, and trade well.